Let's go to Luke. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 4:14. That was good, guys. Praise the Lord. It's been a beautiful fall day today. It has been a busy day. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us everything we need. Praise the Lord. Luke 4. You know what that's about? Luke 4:14. You ready? Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And when they would go to the synagogue, they followed an order. And it would be like if this was my turn, and then it would be Danny's turn, then Jordan's turn, then Shadra's turn. And they would get up and they would speak in order. And they would follow an order in the scriptures, okay? But Jesus got up and took a text and preached what he needed to say that day. And he followed the Spirit. And I want to say this to you. I want you to remember this. He found himself in the Word. Jesus found himself in the Word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. When did that happen? Back in chapter 3. When he was baptized, he was then baptized in the Spirit at the same time. You know, then he goes out into the wilderness, tested by the enemy, and he comes up and shows up in this place, and he gets up and he says that he was anointed. Well, what is anointed? What does that mean, you're anointed? You know, I guess to us that's pretty simple, but a lot of people may not know. That means to smear on or to rub on, like you rub something on your skin. You cover yourself with it, and it gets in you. And so he said he was anointed. Now, the Bible says over in Acts 10:38. Go over there. I'm going to say something to you while you're going over there. Acts 10:38. The Great Commission is not fulfilled unless you teach others to teach others. And what I'm teaching you tonight should be something that you can teach every person, every one of you. You should be able to go to Luke 4, Acts 10:38. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah that we're going to go to in a minute, should be able to go over and talk about how we got the name. Things like this. This is so important to people. Why do I think it's that important? It's that important because this is the sermon that Jesus preached everywhere he went. Amen. This is what he preached. People are like, "I wonder what Jesus preached." I don't wonder. I know what he preached. He preached that. Yeah. He was preaching this. He preached this and the kingdom. That's what he preached. Okay, now, Acts 10:38, this is Peter talking. He says, he's talking about what they had seen and everything. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing a few people, healing all who were oppressed by the devil." Not God, the devil. They were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So who did he heal?
All.
All. Who oppressed them?
The devil.
What did he do? Good. He healed. He was good. Okay? So he healed them all. He preached the gospel to the poor. He healed the brokenhearted. Amen. He proclaimed liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and he set at liberty those who were oppressed. And he preached or proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, which we know as the Jubilee. The Jubilee was the 50th year. Every 50th year, it was like everything's canceled. You get your land back. All the debts are canceled. Everything happens on the Jubilee. Now, the Amplified Bible says there, the day when the free favors of God are profusely poured out on people, on God's people. But let me say this to you too. Jesus is the Jubilee. So for us, every day is a debt canceling day. Every day is a favor day. Every day for us, because Jesus is the Jubilee. Amen. So all of these things that he did are good. He's still doing them today. They didn't pass away. Jesus is still doing them through us. And so he preached this. He did this by the power of the anointing. He did it by the Spirit. And it was all over him. Amen. In fact, he is called Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a Greek word that wasn't translated into English. Christ in Hebrew means Messiah. Christ in English means the anointed one and his anointing. Amen. Okay? So if you would take the word baptism, that word baptism is not translated either. If you would translate, that's still in the Greek form. When you say baptism or baptismo, that's still the Greek word. If you're going to take baptism and put it into English, you're going to say this, dunk. Not sprinkle. Yeah. Dunk. So actually, early on about 6:30 in the morning when you stop by the donut shop, you're going to be baptizing those donuts in your coffee. Amen. That's what you would be doing. It's the same word. Amen. So the word Christ is used 341 times in the New Testament, in the Bible. The word Christ, once again in Hebrew, is Messiah. And in English, it is the anointed one and his anointing. And you can't, listen, you can't just say the anointed one. You have to say the anointed one and his anointing, because sometimes when you read the word Christ in the New Testament, what happens is the anointed would be a better usage. For example, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through the anointing, which strengthens me. So you see how that fits. And so the anointed one and his anointing, don't separate those. He is both of those things. Now, we're talking about what the anointing is. And he said the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him with spirit and power. Go over to Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah, mark these up so that you can lead anybody through this. The next time someone asks you if how all this is happening in the Great Awakening, you could teach them about Jesus and what Jesus has given us. Amen. So, you know, we walk through the authority, we walk through power, we walk through the blessing, and now we're talking about the anointing. Amen. And here in the future, we're going to talk about the path and a couple of others. And then we're going to talk about grace for transition. And we may be put off a couple of weeks. We've had some stuff going on that we'll tell you about later. Okay, so Isaiah 10:27, listen to this. It shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and this yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing or the anointing oil. Some King James says fat. It's talking about the oil, the anointing oil. Your great-grandmother would say fat instead of oil. Amen. And so what we see from this scripture then is that the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It will remove burdens, and it will destroy yokes. I was talking to Chris, and he said he'd had someone kind of around his life who was, I think, a big cusser or something, I don't know. And he's like, man, I came out of all that stuff. I don't want to be around all that stuff. Lord, if there's anything you can do about it. And so that person got moved away from him. And I said, Chris, the anointing removes the burden. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I mean, that's just the truth. The anointing will remove the burden. And this word destroy, as far as destroy, that doesn't mean break. People will say break. They'll say the word break. Okay? It doesn't break yoke. It destroys it. In other words, it takes it down to powder. You can't put it back together. So the anointing will destroy a yoke on someone. Whatever habit or whatever they need to do or whatever's trying to hurt them, it will literally destroy that yoke. It'll literally remove that burden. The anointing is the burden removing yoke destroying power of God. That's what Jesus was doing. Now, Acts 11:26. You're going to want to mark this one. Acts 11:26. Because now we're going to talk about you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you there? And when he had found him, now you can go back and read the rest of the scripture. I just need to go right here. You can go back and read the context. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church, the ecclesia, and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So this is the first time we ever see that we're called Christians. Is right here. They were all lots of, you know, the book of Acts is when everything's getting rolling. Everything started. And so when they got to Antioch and they kept meeting together, started meeting together, they started calling us Christians. Christian means little anointed ones. So you are a little anointed one. Now you are God's little children, but you are joint heir with Jesus. So the anointing on you has no less power than Jesus. You have the same resurrection power, the same anointing that Jesus has. The very same thing. So don't take away the power because we put little in there. That has a different purpose. So Christian means little anointed one. Now, through us then, or I'm going to say because of him, or with him, we can heal the sick, raise the dead, remove burdens, destroy yokes, whatever's necessary. Help people get delivered. Praise the Lord. Whatever's necessary. Remove burdens, destroy yokes. We have that on us now. We're wearing the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Now, so it's our commission then to remove the burdens and destroy the yokes, but not by our flesh. We can't do that. If we're going to do that, we'll be buying people wheelchairs and hearing aids. But Jesus healed the ears. He caused the lame to walk. And that's where the church of the living God is going to. We're not going to go just to try to help people with a few things. We want them well. We want them whole. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is the power that we have on our lives. It's our commission. So we can't do it with the flesh or self works. You have to do it by the Spirit that works through us. So the Spirit is in our lives to help, to teach, to reveal, to guide, to comfort. And he is here to empower. He empowers us. Amen. So you receive power. When did you receive it? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when you were born again, the Holy Spirit came into your life. Your spirit became alive. It was dead before that. You had a light, but you were walking around with a dead spirit. But when you were born again, when you received Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. And then when you moved forward and you made progress in your life and you began to yield. What'd you yield? The littlest member. The tongue, the hardest member. You yielded to God, and when you yielded to God, the Holy Spirit came upon you with evidence of speaking in tongues, and right then the gifts of the Spirit began to flow through you. Yeah. You yielded more of your life to Him, and then the Spirit of the Lord was upon you. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, there's an anointing within. You have the anointing to accomplish whatever it takes to overcome the world. And then there's an anointing upon. You have whatever anointing you need to accomplish what he's called you to do. There's an anointing to win. There's an anointing to harvest. That might help somebody. There's an anointing to overcome. Anything that removes burdens and destroys yokes, there's an anointing for it. There's an anointing to speak to people. There's an anointing to sing. There's an anointing to play instruments. Amen. So, whatever you need to accomplish, whatever you do. So here's the thing, though. You have to yield to the anointing. So the Holy Spirit's moving is not automatic just because, you know, you clean your life up. That's certainly helpful that you get all the parasite drag out of the way and you're going down the path without a lot of stuff bothering you. But if you want the anointing to work on you, it's going to take two things. It's going to take yielding and it's going to take faith. You have to have faith in the anointing. You have to yield to the anointing, to yield to the Spirit. So that means that we don't yield to the flesh. I'm gonna go down the trail a little bit before I say that. You decide and you determine in your heart not to yield to the flesh. Remember what flesh is. That's not cussing and smoking. That's what every sin was that when I was growing up, you know. And at our church, dancing was, but I don't think they read the Bible. Anyway, the flesh is the five senses that you're going just by what you see. Well, that isn't going to happen. Well, you don't go by that. When someone's standing before you and they have cancer and you can see it on them, you can't go by what you see. If you're going to pray for them, you better go by what you see and hear. If there's a mountain of debt before you, you can't look at that debt and go, I don't know how we'll ever do it with the job I have. You have to have some faith about that. You have to look at what's on the inside of you. You can't keep looking out here, church. That's like been my message for 10 years around here. Stop looking on the outside. Amen. Now, but you yield to the Spirit, and then you go into the presence of God, and the Lord will just pick that right up and work with it. That's how we preach. You got to step off into that. Amen. Now go over to Romans 8:26. Y'all getting anything out of this? See, this is what people need to know. You need to be able to help them with it. We're accomplishing the Great Commission tonight. And we'll just touch on this quickly and we'll move forward. Are you there? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now we need to read this in context. Never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever again use that phrase, well, all things work together, sister. You're going through that trouble. It's work. No, that is not what that says. The actual translation. And I was telling the thermostats this, that when we were in Bible school, we had a professor. He wasn't a word of faith person either, but he was a good teacher. Can't call his name right now, but he actually translated this and got it right. And I was so excited to see someone outside of the camp get this right. In all things he works. In all things he works, meaning whatever's gone on, God can get right in the middle of it and work. He can break through those things. And basically what this is talking about is prayer. This is talking about him getting in the middle of the prayer and working. This is not something we need to stick out over here and say, well, this is a scripture telling us that all this trouble you had is working for you. No, this is talking about Holy Spirit working on the inside of you, empowering you and teaching you what to pray and praying with you. He'll pray with you. And he's working in what has gone on. He will work in what you're working on. Now, so we'll get back to that sometime. But here's what I want to ask you a question. How do you know if someone's anointed? They're removing burdens and destroying yokes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how you know. Simple answer, isn't it? How do you know if a song is anointed? It's removing burdens and destroying yokes. So think of all the songs you could just throw away right now. Because they're not removing burdens or destroying yokes. Further along, we'll know all about it in the by and by. Oh. No? No. If it's removing the burden, yeah, but I like how it sounds. They're going to sound good because you have no resistance to music. You're going to like the tune.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, no, whatever it says, you hear it, you're going to like it, you know. You hear hello from the other side, and you're going, oh, that sounds good. But that song is angst. I mean, she's wonderful, but yeah, understand what I'm saying. There's a certain thing to that. And I think she's a great person, so I'm not trying to criticize her. What I'm telling you is that's a song that you could quickly pick up on, that your emotions could get in it.
Yeah.
And there are songs that people say they're worshiping God to that are the same way. Anytime it's about you and how you're under something and he's helping you go through the darkness, you're not worshiping God. Now, some of those songs you might want to sing every once in a while because they're sweet, but not at worship time. But you don't want to feel yourself full of all of that all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm not going to get off on that, but y'all know about that kind of stuff. But it would be anointed. So how do you know if a musician is anointed? He's removing burdens, destroying yokes. How do you know, are they just want to look good? No, it could be so cool. You get on there, you know, you could be just doing all sorts of stuff and people go, man, that's cool. Well, we like cool. That's okay. But is it removing burdens and destroying yokes? Because when you get on a ministry level, that's what you want. If you're going for entertainment, fine. But if you're going for ministry level and you're going for worship, that's not fine. Not going to work. So you're anointed if you're removing burdens. Amen. Well, how can you tell if the piano player, how can you really tell that? Oh, you can tell. You got the Spirit of God in you. You can tell whether someone's singing anointing or just not, or just singing. Amen. So they really should be looking for songs that remove burdens and destroy yokes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. About victory, about, you know, if you're going to sing some praise, you can sing about victory. But when you're worshiping God, you want to worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, I love you. I exalt you. Glory to your name. Those kind of things. I was telling the thermostats, too, that I was listening to Pastor Nancy, and she was reminding me that part of worship is to go back and talk to God about how good he's been to you. Like Miriam did. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. She told it, see? And so these are the kind of things that we want to be doing. That was free right there. I'll get back on this. All right, so to be called a Christian should mean that there is evidence of anointing in your life. And this didn't start out as a religious name. The people started calling them little Christ or Christians because they were acting like Jesus. They were going about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so we call ourselves disciples, but if we're going to call ourselves disciples, we need to go to the real meaning of disciple. If you go back and look it up, a real disciple is an understudy. They're the person who has learned the part in case the lead character goes down or gets sick, they can step in and be that lead character. Y'all know that. They can take the role of the lead actor if they're not present. They fulfill the role. So Jesus is sitting on the throne. So you got to fulfill the role. You've got to be removing the burdens, destroying the yoke. Have faith in the anointing, church.
Yes.
Have faith in the anointing. And think about releasing the anointing. No, just have faith in it. Have faith that when you, that's why we tell you that don't, when we're praying for people, don't just walk up and go, Lord, thank you. But have faith and release the anointing. Release the anointing. See? And believe that God is going to back you up. He will.
He will.
He will. Yeah, so-and-so didn't get healed when I pray for him. Pray for the next person. And, well, what if they don't? Pray for the next person. And keep praying for the next person. Keep praying for the next person. And pretty soon you're going to start seeing miracles. And you're going to come running in here saying, guess what, guess what, guess what. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right. So we are those understudies. Now, let's start closing with this. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 10, 1. I want to show you something else the anointing will do in your life. This is so good. 1 Samuel 10, and we'll start with verse 1, and we're going to read through 8. Y'all happy?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. 1 Samuel 10, 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil, and he poured it on his head. He's talking about Saul. He's just found Saul. Poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Now, what's happening right here is Samuel, Saul has been out looking for some missing donkeys. Okay? He happens upon Samuel, but it's a divine appointment. And Samuel tells him, guess what? God has chosen you to be king of Israel. Now, Saul is, he's a Benjamite, right? He's a Benjamite. And so he doesn't think very much of himself. He's huge. He's like Bill Gailey tall. He's a big old guy, a big strong man. But he doesn't think very much of himself. But this is what happens whenever Samuel begins to talk to him. When you've departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward and from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. And that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they'll be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now this is all happening because he was anointed. He just anointed him. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you, and I'll show you what you should do. So here we see Samuel has anointed Saul, and in the first verse we see that he gives him dominion. That's the first thing he does. You are anointed captain over the inheritance. There's the dominion. That's the first one. So when God blessed Adam, he gave him dominion. Praise the Lord. In charge of that garden. Now verse 2. The asses which thou wentest out to found. The next thing we see is restoration. So he found his vehicles back. He got his vehicle back. Amen. You know, that's what they rode in those days. Amen. Fine donkeys. Anyway, so he had his dominion. And then he got restoration. When you're anointed, restoration begins working, and it'll just keep right on going until everything is fixed until you stop. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 3. Then shalt thou go forward. So we're looking now at progress. Dominion, restoration, and now progress. Supernatural progress, church. Supernatural progress. If you will look back, he wasn't getting very far before Samuel showed up. But now that the Lord has chosen him and anointed him, he's making progress quickly. Amen. Verse 4, they will salute you and give you loaves and bread, and thou shalt receive of their hands. That's favor and increase. Now he has favor and increase. So he had dominion. He had restoration. He went forward. He had progress. And now he has favor and increase. They salute him. That meant something. They're saying, hey, we like you. Come over here. We're going to give you some stuff. You see that? And so now he's anointed all these things. Now, the word salute is aligned. The Hebrew language always backs down into one word. There's a primary word. Salute backs down into shalom. Okay? So they, when they saluted him, they went, shalom. Okay? See where I'm going with that. The actual word, I'm telling you what they were saying when they saluted. Okay. So it come. We got to get the picture of that. Now, so shalom is completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, completeness in number, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment, peace, friendship. These are all shalom of human relationships with God in a covenant relationship, peace from war, and peace as an adjective. So shalom means wholeness, entire, nothing missing, nothing broken. So it is the state of being complete, so nothing is missing. The state of abounding, so nothing is wanting. The state of abundance, so nothing is needed. So you are actually going to get back what would be missing. Your want is going to go away because you're going to get what you want and you're going to get what you need. Shake it off, church. Shake off the stuff. Why? This isn't happening to me. Well, where's your anointing? Verse 5 and 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. So there's a company of prophets. Prophets run around together a lot. And so there's a company. There were schools of prophets. There were things. So he meets them, and as soon as he gets with them, he's able to just start prophesying with them. Why? Because he's anointed. He's anointed, so he could just get right in there and do it. And then it says this, It said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you'll prophesy with him, and you shall be turned into another man. You change status or position. And so the old you will bow down to the new you. You're going to change status. You're going to change position. And so you begin to have a different place. So then what happens next? Let it be that when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. So then occasion will serve you, or we'll say this, opportunity will serve you. So when you're anointed, opportunity will serve you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so an extraordinary incident or opportunity, whatever, some things will happen and they'll serve you. Those things will serve you. An occasion will serve you. You could go somewhere where you're like, I don't know why I'd be any good to be here. But all you need is to meet one person. And if you're in the place where God has you to be, you're going to meet those people. They're going to come across your path. Because everything you do in life has to do with other people. So you got to get out there. You can't just stay up in a corner somewhere. You got to get out there so that you can fulfill the commission in your life and make somebody happy. And then you'll start meeting people. You'll start having collisions collisions with the Spirit of God. And people will start having collisions with the Spirit of God on you. They're gonna wake up and stuff. Amen. They will too. So God will. So verse 6, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Now people started following him. People start following you when they see the anointing on you. Anointing brings that leadership thing out. People are drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to you. I'll pick you. I'll take you. So God is going to touch hearts around you to help you and your call, whatever it is. If your call has clients, clients are going to show up. If it's a bunch of friendships, they'll show up. If you need places to preach, they'll start showing up. It's all about whatever God has for you. Amen. If you need to get through doors, someone will show up to open that door. Well, see, that's your problem. Quit going there. Don't doubt me, church. I'm reading the Bible to you. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. The anointing will remove the burden. It'll pull out the jam log. And you can go forward, but you're going to have to know that you're anointed. And I just told you you were. You are anointed. Chip told us we're anointed on a level that the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God. And so we need to see ourselves in that place. We don't need to see. I'll tell you what is the opposite of this. What is the devil of this? And that is people with that elite spirit. That elite spirit. We're better than everyone else, and so we're going to tell the world what to do. That kind of stuff. See, that elite spirit. But that's not who we are. We're humble like Jesus, but we're powerful. And we're anointed. Yes. Yeah. And we're anointed to remove burdens. Yes. And your words matter. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord. You may finish this first? Okay, thank you. So, we see that being endowed or empowered or anointed brings specific effects of the blessing. It brings restoration, progress, favor, increase, change of status or position, occasion serving you, opportunity serving you, and hearts are touched. Okay? That's what you're wearing right now. These are all great things. These things belong to you, those who are anointed. So these things happen to you. They happen through you. You are removing burdens and destroying yokes. And so that was a setup right there, because I'm going to say this. Or are you? Right? Because you can do nothing. Everything God gives you, you steward. You protect the anointing on your life. You have to protect the anointing on your life. Our fathers in the Lord went to great extremes to protect themselves. When they, on their way to preach somewhere, they wouldn't talk to people. They wouldn't talk to, Brother Roberts wouldn't preach, talk to people for 3 or 4 hours or the day before he even preached. They protected that anointing. Mm-hmm. Amen. You can protect your anointing in a lot of ways, and I don't have to mention them to you, you know. You can protect your anointing, whatever it is. The anointing is a businessman. The anointing, whatever it is you do, the anointing is a preacher. The anointing is a worship leader. The anointing, whatever it is you do that God's called you to do, that needs to be stewarded and protected, and you have to become aware of it. But the devil's going to tell you, nobody wants me. Nobody needs me. I'm going in the corner over here and just eat worms or something, you know. I just can't seem to get a breakthrough. That's why. Just step up and say, Lord, let's get this stuff out. Let's shine it back up. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to shut off my mouth to all the stuff I don't need to be saying. I'm going to be a good soldier. The Bible says we will endure hardship like a good soldier. All of us have had to endure hardship. And we'll do it as long as we need to. You endure the hardship. You push through. And you have to have that spirit to push through. Well, that doesn't sound like grace to me. Well, it is grace. It very much is grace because you're empowered by grace. Amen. Faith moves. Have faith in the anointing. Have faith in your faith. Have faith in God. Trust God. The Bible told you you have this. And so you can't just hide back and act like it's not there. Start realizing, hey, I'm anointed. Hey, I'm anointed. You'll find out that all of a sudden people look at you different. So you're not bragging. You just have it. It's just like you could say, hey, I have blue eyes. Well, some of y'all can say that. But you know, I have this. I have my Father's anointing. I have the power of God on my life. He gets all the glory, but I have it. And then go back and think of all the times. Father, I thank you so much that day that mama brought her sweater to that meeting that I was preaching at. Thank you, Lord, for that. She brought that sweater, and I prayed over that sweater, and she went home and threw it on her daughter who was going to hell and who was about to die of kidney failure. And her kidney started working, and she rose up and got saved and baptized over there in Canyon Lake. Thank you, Lord, for that day. Thank you for that little 5-year-old boy that walked in here to Victory Church. And to this very day, he tells people at Walmart over there, you should tell Miss Kathy every time he's here, I got healed at Walmart, at Victory Church. Yeah. Amen. He got his hearing back. And there's story after story after story of laying hands on the sick and they recovered. Are people's lives that change. They got the truck back, got their mama back, got their dog back, got their life turned around, quit a bunch of we have story after story after story of how the anointing removed the burdens and destroyed the yokes. If people would just have the good sense to believe the word of God and stay in a church where they're connected to the truth and keep moving forward, and you can go anywhere you want to go if you'll stay connected like that. If you get rooted and grounded, you will put out the fruit. And if you will do what Romans 12 says, you have to renew your mind. Your spirit believes, but you have to renew your mind. So don't even talk to me if you're not putting any word in there renewing your mind. You've got a cell phone with all sorts of preaching on it. You got how many Bibles do we have at our house? I don't know. We couldn't even count all the Bibles we have. You have a way to hear the word. And you don't have to just listen to someone prophesying all the time. No. Listen to somebody preach the word. That was good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the internet audience. We bless you. We thank God for you. We declare that the anointing removes every burden and destroys every yoke in your life. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.